Tired of paying the high cost of new nails and screws? Now you can get that new nail and screw look and feel without the new nail and screw price at Haney's Used Nails and Screws in San Carlos Park. Haney's Used Nails and Screws, voted best place to buy used nails and screws by readers of the news press. They hammer like new, they screw like new, but they sure don't cost like new. Haney's Used Nails and Screws. Open weekdays noon till 2 p.m. in San Carlos Park, where the old A&W Drive-In used to be. Also serving the coldest beer in town. Be sure to visit us at haneysusednailsandscrews.net. Because .com was already taken.
Again, everybody, and welcome to Casey's Top 40. I'm Casey Kasem, and I'm all set to count down the 40 most popular songs in the USA. Our rankings come from the official survey of radio stations from coast to coast, conducted by Radio and Records, the industry's newspaper. Well, we have four new songs for you in this week's survey, including the follow-ups to top 10 hits by Billy Joel, the B-52s, and Janet Jackson. But before we start counting them down to number one, let's take a look at last week's top three. At number three was Janet's Rhythm Nation. At number two, Michael Bolton and How Am I Supposed to Live Without You. At number one, for the fifth straight week, Phil Collins with Another Day in Paradise. Will Phil continue to camp out in a top 40 paradise, or will Michael Bolton or Rod Stewart be the one to finally unseat him? There's only one way to find out. Let the countdown begin.
Number 40.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on now. Listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. So damn good, it makes the Pope want to sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, and you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. On all afternoon. Oh,
Every once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, well, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
I've never been in a bad mood in my life. Hey, everybody. Okay, I don't need to hear you chirping up, although I do have to ask you something. No. Stan and Haney. I want to hear you because it was going in one ear and out the other. Uh-huh. And I was mildly amused and want to hear further details. When our old friend Jokey was doing the top signs that you're at a bad swimming pool, I can't even say kids today.
Nope. Because this was kids in 1994.
All right, let's go back to 1994, when in 1994 I said kids today. And we're talking, what, the 10, 12-year-olds?
Yeah, maybe 13 on a good day.
You said that you used to go skating at a skate park next to a community pool.
The Fine People of Columbus brought Tony Hawk's dad in to design a skate park, and it was downtown in the bad side of Columbus. It was called Dodge Skate Park.
Dodge Skate Park.
Right in front of it was the Dodge City Public Pool. Now, since it was in a low, low, low income family, the general admission price was a cool 25 cents.
Quarter to go swimming.
Yep.
Unlimited swimming.
Yep. Multiple diving boards, Olympic sized pool, good stuff.
Yeah. Plenty of chlorinated water, I hope.
Extra chlorinated, I believe. The guy used to run the place named Donnie, and he pointed out to me one day, he says, "Look, they're at it again." It's like, "What do you mean they're at it again?" He's like, "Look, you look down in the field, the grass surrounding the pool where everybody lay out when they were eating and stuff, and you would see people with their beach towels over them slowly going up and down, up and down."
People, you say people.
Utes. Yeah.
12 and 13-year-old utes.
Young.
At the community pool right next to the Tony Hawk skate park.
Yep. Procreating.
Engaging in.
Lewd and lascivious activities.
Yeah.
At the fine young age of 12 and 13.
The beast with two backs.
Yep.
At ages 12 and 13.
And apparently this was a common occurrence because, as he said, they're up to it again.
Yeah, there they go. Those inner city utes.
25 cents, fresh water, and all the loving you can get.
12 years old.
Stan, we don't need to use the term inner city disadvantaged.
You know, as my dad used to say, they're different from you.
Your dad said a lot of things.
Yeah, he did.
That's the mildest thing I've ever heard him say.
My dad, you know what? And you have to go under the belief that...
I think it was your grandmother that I enjoyed the best.
Times were different then.
In 1994?
No, I'm talking about when my old man was growing up and when my grandmother was growing up. In those days, there was no such thing as integration. You were still living Jim Crow. And...
Well, officially, on the books,
yes,
according to the law, there was integration.
Yeah. And so... He was...
Instead of saying things out loud, they were then said in code.
Thank God for my mother.
Was it your grandmother that said it?
Which one? What's the word? And I'll tell you if it was her.
When you were at a restaurant, and I know it was a female relative, and decided it was time to leave because it was getting a little bit dark around here.
Yeah, well, see, my grandmother was pulled out of her car in the north end of Hartford. Keep in mind, my grandmother was a Kraut German, and she automatically used to, as she used to say, vibrate when she was in the bad part of town, kind of like I do around $100 bills.
See, it's more about language for me.
Yes.
Because as opposed to saying something really out there.
Yeah, well... This is, and I might.
It's Stan, it's time to go. Why? I'm really enjoying my ice cream. No, you don't understand. It's a little dark here.
That
now.
Was at the G Fox lunch counter in Hartford when I was about 6 or 7, and all the ladies would take their grandchildren and while they went shopping and smoked at the lunch counter.
Yep.
And then when, you know, help was on their break, that's when it got a little dark. Now, that...
What do you mean? What do you mean, Grandma?
Grandma, I'm having fun breathing in your secondhand smoke.
Yeah, and it's the middle of the afternoon. What do you mean it's getting dark around here?
My old man, he used to go...
He's fascinating, you know.
Oh, I know he's fascinating. That's a breed of human that doesn't exist anymore.
Because your dad was a tough guy... And when I say tough guy, professional boxer, and also a lot of his side ventures and jobs would involve his physical stature. Yeah. But at the same time, he would get things into his head that were a point of honor, and that's how decent people do things, and you're going to do it that way or I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah. He used to...
Like when he'd force you to go visit graves.
Don't even start me on that.
And nursing homes.
Don't even. Yeah, I actually saw my name on a tombstone because I'm the third. And my old man used to say, we're going to go and visit. And I never knew my grandfather on his side. The only thing I knew was this big headstone that had my full name. Now you get down there and pray.
And, of course, it didn't bother him because, you know, he's working on a blue flame buzz.
Yep.
You're a kid. You got no pharmaceuticals. You got no alcohol.
Traumatized. So he used to work out at the YMCA in Hartford. This goes back to the time when he was a boy growing up. And this is
the one he took his swimming at?
Well, yeah, in the YMCA.
Yeah, wasn't that their slogan, let's all swim nude together?
Oh, fuck. I don't know how many people come from that era. Especially in the Northeast, it was big at the old YMCAs where you could get a room for $3 a night. You went into the pool, you swam nude. But let me tell you something. I wouldn't be in the pool swimming nude in his era if he felt that it was getting dark. But we went in from the time he was a young man until the time he had me, all the way to the age of like 7 or 8. He'd go to the YMCA in Hartford, which was built in like 1920. And
that have an odor about it?
Oh, God. I caught a case of athlete's foot as a kid in that place.
With you to this day, is it?
Yeah, but pretty close. And I can take a wild guess who he blamed it on. Now, wait a second.
You know, we didn't used to get athlete's foot in here.
Now, he... I remember it was a special day. This is the mindset of my father, and again, different era. It was a banner day because he was going to take me to the YMCA where we would work out. The place was full of medicine balls and those weights that came off the wall.
Oh, yeah. You want to know what Stan is describing? Just picture a black and white picture of somebody with a handlebar mustache lifting barbells and bare knuckles fighting.
Yep. So it was going to be a banner day because we were going to go down there in the gym and work out with medicine balls, go for a swim nude.
Yep. Then, a real He-Man workout.
Yep, yeah. And then we were going to have lunch at the YMCA lunch counter. What am I looking at in that picture?
This is the skate park down here at the bottom.
Look, we're not talking about that. Find the old YMCA Hartford.
Been up there for 10 minutes.
Sorry about that.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry. Just try not to focus on the pain. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
So he says to me, well, you know what? You had a good workout, son. Proud of you swimming nude. we're going to have lunch at the YMCA lunch counter. It was like diner style, but it was much like Tony D'Amico's place used to be, an all-male staff. They wore the white shirts, the bow ties, black pants, black shoes.
Last time I checked, you weren't at the YWCA.
Exactly. But this was the lunch counter was open to the general public.
Well, if they do this now, do they have to have different Ys for each part of the gender spectrum?
No kidding. Well, again, this was when I was a kid.
Yeah, there was no such thing
so
back then.
So we're at the locker room. Let me tell you something. At an old YMCA in the 70s, in the locker room, not a lot of friendly sights to see.
Not a lot of friendly odors to smell.
No, it was a mess.
Although, no, the best you could probably hope for is a speed stick.
Yep. A lot of witch hazel and club man.
Yep.
So, he says we're going to lunch. And he goes, he wanted to see real quick who was at the lunch counter. And it was Chester. And...
Now, did Chester refer to your dad as Mr. Stan?
Yes, sir. But here's... This is the one thing I remember from that time as a little kid thinking it was a special day because we were going to the lunch counter at the YMCA and Chester was going to wait on us. Chester had been at the YMCA since my dad was a boy. And he takes me in. He says, I want to introduce you to Chester. And we go up there and, yes, Mr. Stan, how are you today, sir? And then wiping down the stainless steel counter and getting all ready. He was dressed impeccably. And so I'm feeling pretty darn important. Oh, this is your boy. Yeah, yes. And he was trying to make Chester feel good, that he was important.
Uh-huh. Because, as you know, your father, a very kind man,
yes,
very considerate.
Yep. So he said to me, he said, Stashu, say hi to Chester. Hi, sir. He said, son, if you closed your eyes, you wouldn't know he was black.
Very gracious man, your father
and
was.
I don't think he used the term black. I think it might have been Negro.
But, of course, he was being correct for
yes,
the time.
And, of course, the reply from Chester, thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, and it was a matter of fact that
Chester went to sleep at night thinking about taking a straight razor.
Oh, you know it. And that's where, because my father liked to chat it up with everybody, that's where he hired the man that, do you remember, and I still got him in the big offices, the big floor buffers, you know, and the machine that buffs the floor, gets it that nice shine on the linoleum there.
Yeah, great on terrazzo.
And that's where he met, it's the only way I know him, I don't know if it was his first name or his last name, that's where he met Riley. And he felt that Riley, as he informed me, as an 8-year-old, Riley has 8 children. That's a lot. And he needs the work. So he hired Riley.
Not because he needed a job done, but out of the goodness of his heart.
Precisely. He gave Riley the job of buffing our floors at our house and my dad's businesses. And I still remember, he was the nicest man in the world. And my mom didn't care. My mom loved Riley. And was so kind and used to apologize for my dad. He doesn't know what he's saying. He that's just the way he is.
Now, is that true or did he know exactly what he was saying?
I often wondered. So, but when my mom was home and Riley was doing the floors, we would always be fascinated by that big buffer.
Oh, yeah. Kids are fascinated by that.
And he always wore green trousers He had green, like military green trousers and black shoes. I don't remember. He would wear different shirts, but he would always give us kids in his pocket, never fail, stick of, not, what was the striped gum? Not the juicy fruit.
Fruit striped gum.
And he would always pull out and fan them open and ask you, what color would you like? And I would always take the red one. And I didn't care what my sisters got. And my mom didn't care. And Riley was a great guy. Well, my dad came home early one day when Riley was working just to check up on him since a white woman was in the house.
Uh-huh.
But he trusted Riley.
Yeah, but still, you can't be foolish about it. You got to pop in unexpected once in a while.
He did. And he, I found out years later, talked to Riley. And because...
Meanwhile, your dad was probably rolling out of bed across town. Well, I better go check on my wife.
I know he was. I met most of them.
You know, it made perfect sense to him, though.
It made complete sense. So, Riley would come over, you know, once a week or so, and he stopped giving me fruit stripe gum. Stopped giving all of us kids fruit stripe gum.
So, naturally, as a kid, what did I do?
Right. And
did I make Riley mad?
This actually has a nice story ending of a horrible situation of a bad part of time in a very prejudiced racial part of time. And I realized that goes back to the 60s. And I found out years later that my father caught him giving gum to us and said, you need to stop doing that. And so he never gave us gum. Well, flash forward, probably in the mid-70s, I'm going to one of the museums in Hartford on a field trip, school field trip. Riley is long gone. He's not in our lives anymore. I don't know, probably referred to my father by, you know, his full name.
Maybe called him Mr. Nowalani, yeah, as opposed to Mr. Stan.
Yeah. And years later, I'm at one of the museums of art in Hartford going on a field trip. And who's buffing the floors in there but Riley? And I went up to him, old enough now.
Now, did he own his own floor buffer?
I think he did. He had it in the back of his station wagon. And I went up to him, and I said, do you remember me? And he said, I most certainly do remember you, Stosh. And he gave me a big hug and asked me how I'd been, how was my sisters, even asked how my dad was doing, my mom, and all that stuff. And as I was getting back in line to continue with the field trip, Mr. Riley came up and put his hand on my shoulder and slipped me a piece of red striped gum. True story. And I often wonder, his kids, now keep in mind, his kids, and I don't remember specifically, went on to be hugely successful doctors and lawyers and teachers. They were, yeah. His entire family was brilliant.
And once again, that's your dad saving the day. He paid for their college.
Don't think that he didn't say it on more than one occasion. What a twisted man. I got to get, I'd like at some point during this segment for an electrician to call me because G-Train in Vegas is unavailable. I went to the store 2 years ago and got one of the highest grade blenders you can get. You got your Vitamixes and you got your Blendtex. These things pulverize rocks into a powder. So you can throw anything into them if you like making your smoothies.
Rocks?
They demonstrate by grinding rocks.
Well,
to
there's
powder.
Your problem right there. You shouldn't put rocks in a blender.
I'm not grinding rocks.
Well, you shouldn't.
No, well, thank you. Yes.
Like I suggested earlier, he's putting gravel in there.
I'm not putting gravel in.
Making home cement.
I'm just saying they use that as a demonstration. But I am chopping up a lot of ice and frozen berries and
Having another mojito, are you?
Yeah, another mojito. Yeah. I'd like another mojito, please. That. So.
Are you making lady drinks?
No, I'm not making lady
drinks.
Apparently. I was listening to that commercial about going to Cuba and it signify that this lady on the cruise ship was going to Cuba. They have the sound effect of, I'd like another mojito, please. And the guy is shaking it up. At any rate.
Geez. Be that as it may.
Sure.
Having said that.
Yeah. So I got this blender, this BlendTec, that if you wanted to, I didn't pulverize rocks.
Well, evidently it can if it's broke.
So it's got the smoothie button. It's even got a button that you hit. You can put cold ingredients in the thing and hit soup. It blends it all up into a creamy soup that gets hot just by the force of the
well, it's called friction.
That too. So, what? What?
My brother's on the phone. If you want to talk to him before you get too far into your story. Hotline.
Okay, thank you. G Train.
Yes.
How are you, buddy? Did I get you out of a meeting?
No, I'm good. I just finished.
Okay, good. Say hi to Haney. He's here too.
Hey, Haney, how you doing?
Hey, G-Train.
And your brother and you can fight at another time. Here's the deal. Are you familiar with the blender called the BlendTec?
I am not.
Did you buy that off TV?
I did not.
Yes,
no, that's
you
where you got
did.
A square copper pan from.
Yep.
Yes, you did. No, that's why you're talking about grinding rocks up in it.
No.
Where did you see it grinding rocks?
On a demonstration.
On
but
YouTube.
It was on TV. but I didn't buy it from TV.
Late at night.
Look,
yeah.
Are you familiar with the Vitamix blenders?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So this is a knockoff of those?
No, they're the two top ones.
Never fancy Stan as a knockoff.
Why don't you? It's not a knockoff.
Yeah, you hear how angry he is? He's juicing again.
Yep.
Again. All right. Now, I have this blender. It's supposed it can heat soup in the damn thing. It spins so hard. And it crushes rocks if you wanted to a fine powder.
See, I think that would break the blender.
No, I don't. Not
well, at least make it smoke.
So I make a smoothie on the thing, and you hit the smoothie button, and it comes out with all the ingredients as smooth, like restaurant quality smoothie. Okay.
What are you putting in these smoothies?
I'll tell you. Well, I'm juicing again. So the past couple of weeks, I've been putting my stuff in for the smoothie in this blender. Let me tell you, the blender costs about $500. All right? And I bought it about 2 years ago.
It's been some knockoff.
So as it's spinning around lately, it's been vibrating really hard. I mean, it's been getting almost... if I didn't hold on to it, the top would fly off and things would... Past three times I've used it, I've actually smelled electricity coming out of the motor. When it starts, it's burning in there. What's going on with that blender, and why am I smelling grinding gears?
Sounds like you're letting out the magic smoke.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I tell you what, if you're really grinding up rocks and you're trying to make a mud smoothie...
I'm not grinding up rocks! Let's get those... That was demonstration.
You're the one that said that.
Demonstration purposes.
You said
only.
It's vibrating, correct?
But it's vibrating. It is, like, not really... I mean, it's
have
still
have you inspected
working.
The blades?
The blades are fine.
Well, let's say, hypothetically, one of them's bent, it's off balance, and that's why it's vibrating and messing up the bearings
blades
up.
Blades are fine. It sits
still
into...
grinding up rocks and messed the blades
it
up.
It sits into the
I'm
motor
no electrician,
correctly.
But loose wires cause fires.
There ain't no loose wires! I'm smelling... You know how it is when you burn out a drill, if you're like a carpenter?
What are you doing, trying to bust rocks with it?
No!
Not designed for that.
What's going on, G-Train, with my the electrical components in that thing? Is this thing getting ready to blow up at only 2 years old?
You could very well be burning up the motor.
Because this is supposed to last a lifetime. They say, lifetime this, lifetime
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, you know, a $25 sunbeam, how many of those could you buy?
$500.
Yeah, hell, you could have a new blender for every drink.
But it doesn't grind up.
Rocks?
It can if you do me a favor. You know what? I'm going to settle this right now. D-Train, go on YouTube and look at BlendTec.
demonstrations to show you how great it
is. So, G-Train, what would make a small motor like that start to burn up?
And how, and is it ruined? Is it ruined now if I'm smelling it?
He's trying to answer you.
Well, no. I'm trying to tell him.
It's on its way to ruin.
All right.
It's on its way to ruin. It's probably on its way to going bad. But you say it's got a lifetime warranty. Send it into the company.
I think it's got something like
No questions asked, right?
We got to find out what it is.
It can crush rocks. Return for any reason.
Yes. But I should stop using it.
I would.
Okay.
G-Train, would you say any appliance that starts to smell of electricity, maybe stop using it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a good tip. Will it explode on me? Because I was thinking as I was looking down, seeing how it's blending,
could start a fire.
That the thing's going to blow up in my face.
It could potentially start a fire, but it's not going to blow up like a can of fuel.
Okay, good. That's all I needed to know. And we're going to find out what kind of warranty this thing has on it. And then I'm going to have your brother send it
lifetime,
back to the company.
Lifetime warranty, no questions asked, isn't it? Rocks.
That's what I heard. Grinds up rocks, nails, everything.
Hey, you'll never need another blender.
That's what they said. That's why I bought it.
That's why you're upset.
Yep. G-Train, thank you.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
Bye.
Thank you.
He's wondering how he knows about blenders if he's an electrician.
He knows all that stuff in there. Are you looking up the Blendtec stuff?
Yeah.
And what are they doing? Crushing rocks.
Grinding up a synthetic skeleton.
Yeah. He got sound on that thing? Let me tell you. What's the warranty on these things?
They don't have that on YouTube.
All right. Where's the... Oh, here. Hold on. All right, roll.
I want to see the rocks. How long before it breaks?
This isn't rocks. This is the synthetic skeleton.
Why don't I have sound on you?
We don't want to scare the little ones, do we?
Where did the picture go?
There. We're going to blend Skelly, because he's scary.
Why?
To show you the strength of the Blendtec.
Says don't do that at home, Stan.
I didn't do it. This is how strong this blender is.
Until you get a hold of it.
Now I'm crushing ice and blueberries with it and it's smoking. Look at this.
Yeah, well, you probably shouldn't do that.
Look at it. Look. He's putting a whole skeleton in there.
He's wearing a lab coat, so he must be somebody.
He's Mr. Blendtec.
Is this how you ended up buying one? You saw these videos?
No, I almost bought a Vitamix, and then I said, and this one was I was told was better. Where's the rocks?
I hadn't found the rocks yet.
Okay, let me know when you find the rocks. That's driving me effing nuts. Sorry about that, folks.
You'll never need another blender again.
Until you.
That's
do.
What they said. Ahoy, who's this?
Yes, sir. I need to speak. Directly to Mr. Stan, please.
Is this Eddie Taylor? Eddie, it's Stan. It's Stan.
Yes, sir.
Eddie, I haven't heard from you in a long time. Oh, thank goodness. Eddie, what's up, buddy?
Wilson, no, you ain't heard from me in a while because to my way of thinking, you was getting sick of me.
Yeah, well, that's true, Eddie, because like you're doing right now, Eddie, you're calling up in the middle of a show. Now, if I was at my desk and it was you and you needed some advice, yes, sir, I would go and talk to you. But you call up in the middle of a broadcast, and while I'm trying to, Andy and I are trying to go and entertain everybody, and you're calling up, and it did get me mad. But you're here now, and what?
If I need to talk. So, yeah, I should go to your desk phone,
Eddie. I have an office here. Don't call me at home. Don't call me on my cell. I pray to God nobody's handed that out to you. There's a office extension. You call the radio station up and you say I'd like Stan's office, please.
Well,
and
I
then the machine will get it.
I apologize for that.
Yes, sir.
Time that I called you at home.
Yes, sir.
But remember, I am an attorney.
Yes, well, you're not practicing. Are you taking on new cases, Eddie?
Well, no, but I still get access to Westlaw at the library, and I can find anybody's home phone number.
Well, don't call me at home. Don't, Eddie, don't call me at home. What can I do you for, Eddie?
Well, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I hope you have enough respect for me as a man.
Well, that wanes from time to time.
You know, what? Sir, what? Yes, sir. I would not be calling you if I hadn't found myself in another pickle.
Oh, Eddie, did you get yourself in trouble again? You're an educated man. Where did you go to school again? Buffoon Cookman? Is that where you went to school?
Well, sir,
you're an educated man. You are somebody that who got his law degree because you can go and figure out problems. But yet you call me up with your pickles.
Well, I like to think that as far as lawyering goes,
yes, sir,
I'm pretty good.
How do you feel about Plessy versus Ferguson?
What was that? What's that about? That got something to do with Commissioner Bigelow?
No, it doesn't.
He was a good man once.
Yeah, once he was. I'm surprised he hasn't called you up to retain your services.
Well, sir, I don't know that he could afford me.
Eddie, what do you want? I'm a busy man, and your trivial little pickles really just, I don't know that I can help, but what?
Well, you
yes, sir.
Darn near the smartest person I ever know.
You think I'm smarter than you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's right.
I know my place.
Yeah, you damn well better. Okay, Eddie, what can I help you with?
Well, looky here.
Looky here? Do you say that in the courtroom to the judge? Looky here?
Well, sir, I may have not say that to a judge, but I would to a jury, so they know I'm down home.
Okay,
I'm somebody they can trust.
Okay, I'm sorry, Eddie. How can I help you? Yes, sir.
Well, sir, as you know,
yes, sir.
Sir,
yes, sir.
This here,
yes,
economic have called many people problems, mm-hmm. losing their homes and whatnot.
I know it, Eddie. It's true.
A lot of job can't get
what?
Well, lawyer don't pay what it used to.
What are you talking about? There's probably more need for attorneys right now than there have ever been.
Well, sir, this all started because of good, honest work. I got a job pushing broom at a medical place.
Yes, Eddie.
I guess she's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Linda.
Pushing broom.
She say, Mr. Taylor Williams, I've seen you pushing that broom. You're a strong man. I said, well, I try to keep my physical vessel, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes, how would you like to not have to push a broom no more?
Oh, yeah. And what'd you say?
Well, I said, that's very flattering, but I don't know that I should be talking to you without supervision.
Yeah, somebody like a doctor like her.
I get real nervous when it's just me and a white lady.
you look the wrong way. There could be trouble.
Well, you know, sir, be my word against hers.
Yep, and you know what a jury will do. Take her word every time because she's a white woman.
Yes, sir.
Don't you even think about whistling at her.
Yes, sir. That's part of my problem right there.
Okay, what? Well, then what? So the white woman doctor is talking to you, Eddie Taylor, Esquire, broom pusher. What's the big problem?
Well, it turned out she's a head doctor.
She's a head doctor?
Uh-huh, like a psychometrist.
Psychiatrist.
Licensed to rape rapist.
No, she's a psychiatrist. and she probably deals with rapists and all of those, especially your ones that really need a doctor that can prescribe them medication to get them out of their rapist mood.
Well, sir, this lady, I've been making lots of money, but this lady has hired me to be a sex terror rapist as well.
Hired you to be a therapist?
Well, she used a word called, what they call, surrogates.
Surrogate?
Surrogates.
Surrogates. Surrogate?
Yes.
Okay, a surrogate for whom?
Well, Ms. Linda do all the talking and drug taking.
She, what do you mean drug taking?
Well, I mean when she with a patient.
Right. And your job, and she wants you to do what?
Well, she only deal with the ladies, white ladies.
Okay, so ladies that may have been attacked.
Well, I think they're all just crazy, to be honest with
you. Well, all women are crazy, Eddie. You ought to know that. You've been with Sarita for about 10 years now.
Well, how can I put this down?
Okay.
These here white ladies coming in to see Ms. Linda, they are messed up in the head because of what's down below.
Yes.
They don't know how to be with a man. And that's when while she's doing the talking and the drug therapy,
yes.
I'm in a broom closet, and if she knocks three times, that means I need to come out. Now, if she taps twice on the pipe, that means no. And when I come out the broom closet,
yes.
I already got no clothes on.
Well, hold it. Wait a second. Eddie, stop right now. I want to see if I got this right. Just stop.
Yes,
Eddie, please.
Yes, sir.
The white psychiatrist nurse asked you, Eddie Taylor, broom pusher, if you would like to work for her being a surrogate for women patients of hers that are having, let's just say, maybe some sexual performance issues. And being with a man and all that. And so are you basically saying that she hired you to basically almost role play and play the part of a virile young man?
Yes.
So,
she say to these ladies, go ahead, Eddie don't mind, play. I feel like less than a person. They just flopping around, you know.
Now,
I felt real bad
when
this lady won't want to do something and, you know, kiss me.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean on my lips. And I feel real bad because, you know, I get done, okay? And she start sound like a Lord of Mercy, like a cat that swallowed a fur ball. And she starts saying that's my worst nightmare come through, and starts yelling at Ms. Linda that now she even worse. I'm just doing what God intended, sir. But I'm going to pray this out loud. Somebody's going to come back and fight me in the
ass. It's going to come. What you're doing is highly illegal. It's high. Eddie.
Sir, with all due respect, please don't tell nobody.
Don't tell anybody. Eddie, you called me in the middle of a show. You're on the air. Everybody in Southwest Florida and around the world, for that matter, know about this now.
Yeah. Let's keep it quiet.
Eddie, looky here.
But I have another issue that I need help with. What's the medical issue?
Oh, I bet you probably got a few medical issues now. Go see another doctor and get a shot.
Well, sir, I don't think that it works. because I got lower back problems. And I know ladies, when they their bosom are a little more ample than they like,
right?
They have it lopped off.
Now, wait a second.
I'm wondering about is if a man can get his sack tightened up.
Why? Oh, Eddie, how old of a man are you?
Well, sir, you go a gentleman, don't. Like, I'm 62 years old.
All right, you're 62 years old.
Yeah, 62.
At that age.
Praise Jesus.
At that age, things start to sag a little bit.
Yes, so I was thinking maybe they just, you know, tighten it up on me. But Ms. Linda said, you know what, over there in Ahmadinejad, that's supposed to be a real honorable man, the lowering.
Over but there in Ahmadinejad.
I've never been over to Ahmadinejad.
No.
I don't know enough about that.
No. Look, will you take my advice once? Will you listen to me, Eddie Taylor?
I'm sorry if I upset you. That's the whole reason I called, so you can get me out of this whole heap of trouble.
You got yourself into this one. Why couldn't you just stick to pushing a broom?
Lord of mercy, why didn't I? I don't mind pushing a broom, bumping out the floor. I love to rise old.
Look.
Ain't got nothing against no linoleum, neither.
Hey everybody, D-Train here. I want to thank you all so much for being such dedicated Stan and Haney podcast listeners. And just want to throw out there, if you're looking for new podcasts to add to your library, please check out the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast. That is my World War II-based podcast. And Dave the Waterman and I also host a general topic podcast called The Waterman and D-Train Show. You can find our podcast at 96krock.com, the 96krock phone app, iTunes, and Stitcher. Thanks so much. And now back to the Stan and Haney Show.
We've got our finger on the pulse of our numerous enemies. Where's your finger? Excuse me. Stan and Haney in the afternoon, 96KROQ.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us. And Mike Chiannopoulos has joined us.
I'm here, but apparently I'm not the important one here.
No. Now, let me explain something, and I'm going to be delicate about this because I'm on the radio.
Please,
you're a delicate guy.
I've always been delicate. You guys all know me.
Sensitive. Well, I think all of us in here. Nobody's ever accused us of being bulls in a china shop.
Nope. Mike Chiannopoulos from from Absolute Law has noticed that there are more gentlemen in the producer's room than normal. Now,
you know, I was here last week and none of them were here.
No, none of them were here. Of course not. And the thing is, a couple of weeks ago, D-Train came up to me and he said, Tuck looks so forward each and every week when the lovely Anna joins us that he wants to make sure she has a chair to sit down in. Would you like a chair?
That's very polite.
Okay.
That's very polite.
Yeah,
by the way.
It is very polite. Yeah. And I introduced them and, of course, he played shy. And then Dave the Waterman, seriously, he's just curious about anybody other than him that's in the studio and talks on the air. But they're all hovering around in the studio today because you've got the lovely Anna filming because you can see you on your website.
On my website, on Facebook, on my Facebook.
Oh, it's on your Facebook.
Yeah, Absolute Law Facebook. Yeah.
Damn that Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that damn Zuckerberg, isn't he? Something, thinking of it all. But Mike Chiannopoulos is here in studio. He would love to help you out. He comes in on Tuesdays for one reason.
And I'm a nice guy, but Tucker, if you go near my daughter, I'll kill you.
She's looking for somebody a little bit higher up the pay scale.
Go to medical school and we'll talk.
Yeah, become a doctor.
I think the word you're looking for is food chain.
Yeah, higher up the food chain. See, but you know what? Tuck's got potential. Now the other one, don't get near him.
Why? He's a cool dude.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
You can tell.
Yeah, he'd have to shave before he could even speak to my dog.
277 or 775-9600.
Which one are you talking about?
All of them.
If you want to talk to Mike, maybe you've got some family issues going on with child support, visitation. Maybe you haven't seen your kids. You want to find out. You know, mom said we're moving out of state and leaves you high and dry. Family stuff with divorce. Maybe you've suffered.
I'm taking your things.
Yeah.
Your children.
Yeah.
And all of your money.
Yep. You might need to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos. I said family law, DUI. If you've gotten, if you've gotten popped. And you need somebody to talk to about where you stand in this matter. Maybe it has something to do with landlords. Maybe it has something to do with your past record. Maybe something can be expunged.
You're a former Secretary of State dealing with a homebrew email server.
Yep.
And you're saying things like, yes. Well, of course, the Russians hacked the DNC, but they couldn't get through to my server.
Nope.
Yeah, when she called, I told her I had a conflict of interest.
There you go. Mike Chiannopoulos can help, so call now and talk to Mike.
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help with your DUI, family matter, any criminal matter.
277. But the fact of the matter is, it's true.
Yeah. We really do help a lot of people. And, you know, I never want to encourage anybody to drink and drive, so I hate to say I'll give you a discount if you're a Stan and Haney listener and you get a DUI because I don't want to encourage you to drink and drive, but if you find yourself in that tight spot...
And it's all too easy to find yourself in that spot.
It truly is. And I got to stress this, but we got phone lines are full right now. I got to stress this, and you stress it every single time. Getting popped for a DUI and being over the limit, you can still get popped if you're
under
impaired.
The limit. Right.
And you're under the limit. You think, I've had just a
one beer. One
beer?
Yeah.
And the way that the way that the laws are in this state, it is no exaggeration. It can destroy your life.
Life. Absolutely. Yep.
Let's go right to the phones. Jeremiah's been holding for a long time.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Was a good friend of mine.
Jeremiah, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos. Jeremiah,
yes, sir.
You're on with Mike.
Hey, Jeremiah.
Hey, how's it going? Well, my question is my mother. My mother and father. They bought a house. We're originally from upstate New York, and when we moved down here, I joined the service. And there was a lady that was living with us that was helping paying the bills, but she died, and my parents never got a will from her. And we've been trying for years to clear up her name from the title, and we've been jumping through hoops trying to get this lady's title's name up the title of the house, and we can't do anything.
Well, there's going to have to be a probate done for her and her interest then assigned by the probate judge. So have you done a probate?
We actually have. We got a lawyer out all the way in Orlando because we've been dealing with this since 2007, and I'm a military vet. I was in the military while this was all going on, and I just got out in 2012, and then I put a fire in my family's butt to get this done, and it just seems like it's more of a mess and a mess and a mess.
Well, thank you for your service, Jeremiah. Go ahead and call 239, ask Mike, and set up a phone conference with me. I can get a lot more information off the air. I can also pull up on the computer the title that's filed while we're talking so I can look at what we're talking about, and maybe I can give you some advice as to how to get that cleared up.
Okay.
All right. Give him a call. Seriously, he'll help you out while you're on the phone with him, and he'll look it up.
And it's a free phone consultation. So.
Hey, Love Sponge. I just been listening to you guys too, and I've been listening, and I heard the other guy talk about how he loves you guys, and he's been listening for the past 3 months. But I've been listening for probably like the last 3 weeks because I just got a job working on the road, and I there's no CD player or anything that I hook up my iPad to. And he's right. You guys really do keep it real. And you really knew Big Vomit from the Stern Show?
Huh? Did I know Pig Vomit from the Stern Show? I didn't know him.
Which one's Pig Vomit?
WNBC.
Yeah, we didn't know him. I wish we did. I would have cracked him in the head.
We've known plenty of types. That's why it was so popular with radio people, because everybody's dealt with one of those.
And I want to let everybody know, with Mike Trinopoulos, we had a veteran that called in there. Mike Trinopoulos has served. He is also a veteran.
He knows his way around dealing with VA things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And was also a military judge as well. So if you're talking about veterans issues, you got the right guy here, because Mike Trinopoulos served proudly. James on line two. James, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike Trinopoulos.
Ahoy, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, James, what do you got for us today?
Well, my one question, which I don't know if you covered or not, but I was buying a e-juice off of a vendor up in Illinois. It was on a Facebook group all through PayPal.
Are you talking about vaping stuff?
Yes, sir, like e-liquid.
Yeah, the e-liquid, sure.
All right.
Yeah, well, I was purchasing juice, and I just saw the other day on Facebook that he's been mixing all of his juice in a basement with mold all over the house, and he's not doing it very sterilized.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there's anything you can do about maybe getting my money back for what I purchased.
Well, you know, I guess it would be fraud, maybe. You know, if he's in Illinois, you're here, that's going to be a tough thing to do. Probably going to cost you more money than it's worth. How much in total e-juice sales are we talking about?
Well, it's not a lot. It's just the main principle of, you know, I don't make you
getting
doing
tainted stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I would do? I mean, if it's just about making a principle statement, and you know, look, lawsuits are about one of two things, sometimes both. But the first thing is, it's about money typically. I got ripped off, and I want my money back. I want to be compensated for what you did to me. So a civil lawsuit is about money. And sometimes it's about principle. It's not so much about the money. It's that I can't let somebody do this to me and get away with it. And sometimes it's about both. And so yours is more about principle than money. And, you know, sue him in small claims court. If it's under $5,000, which my guess it is, then sue him in small claims court. You need to make the argument that, you know what, the sales were made here because he sold them to me here. So he's in this jurisdiction by virtue of selling to me here. And sue him in small claims court and make him come down here and answer up to one of our county judges.
All right.
Awesome.
There you
and
go, buddy.
The main thing, like, thank you so much, guys. It means a lot.
And that won't cost you much. You know, $100, $200 filing fee is all it's going to cost you. And, you know, and if you end up having to go to trial, call me when you get your trial date, and we'll talk about, you know, for a little bit of money, I can come in just that one day and try it. But other than that, you don't need a lawyer.
All right.
My main thing right now, he has over 1,500 people in his group that he's selling to. You know, my main, because I've been vaping for almost 7 years, and I've been in the community, you know, as much as I can be. You know, seeing over 1,500 people buying his juice, knowing what he's doing to him, it's just, it's killing me. So I just want to give you information. And
is he still in business?
He is. You know, he's, once I called him out about what he was doing, he, you know, he blocked me from his Facebook, blocked me from everything. So I can't get into his group to let people know.
Right. I wonder if somehow if health authorities or the AG in Illinois.
Is that governed by anything? E-juices?
And that's what I was going to tell you guys. I was going to comment on that, you know, the law is slow at keeping up with or making changes and responding to society, unfortunately. And so this stuff evades regulation. It's like the synthetic marijuana thing. It was that stuff was killing people, literally killing them. It's and funny. they changed you know, get a prohibition against the prescription of this, then they change the contents of a little bit and say, well, it's not the same compound. Right. That's not illegal. So that's a lot of what's going on with this e-vaping stuff. And I'll tell you, I think e-vaping is more dangerous and harmful to you than smoking cigarettes. Go back to smoking cigarettes. You're safer.
That's what I started off on, 24 milligram nicotine to get off the cigarettes. And, you know, I'm down to zero. So now I'm pushing to get off of this as well. I'm putting it off for my son. So
that's what you got to do.
There.
All right, good luck,
appreciate
brother.
Appreciate the call. 277 or 775-9600. Mike Trinopoulos in studio with us this afternoon. Andrew on line three. Andrew, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike.
Hey, Mike. Ahoy, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, Andrew. What do you got for us today?
I have kind of a question on custody. My wife's oldest son is 16 and lives in Michigan. He was just visiting us and says to me that he wants to move down and live in Florida. And I'm just wondering how I can go about helping him out with that.
Well, is his dad, who he's living with in Michigan?
That's correct.
You know, is his dad going to be amenable to that? Is dad going to agree to it?
I don't know. That's up in the air. I haven't had a conversation with this man yet.
All right. Well, if his dad agrees to it, then it's really easy. Were they divorced in Michigan or in Florida?
Florida.
Okay. So it's going to be pretty easy. If his dad agrees to it, then you all can call me. We'll fill out a stipulation, have both parties sign it, submit it to the judge, and that's that. If his dad's not going to agree to it, then you all need to decide if you want to fight that fight. And if you do, you know, it's all about what's in the best interest
and
of that 16-year-old. 16.
He's 16. What kind of rights does he have?
Yeah.
Can he go before a judge and say, I choose to live with my mother?
No.
Because at 16, you could technically be emancipated even, couldn't you?
He could be emancipated, but as long as he's not, he's not.
Yeah.
And emancipation is a different issue. You got to have certain things. But
no, I'm just saying, at 16, the court views them differently than, say, a 12-year-old.
Yeah, you would think. But ultimately, the judges here, it's been my experience, don't want to hear from the children and will stop them. But even if a judge will entertain testimony from the 16-year-old, there's no magic age. People always say to me, well, once they're 12, can't they have it? You know, once they're 16, can't they? No. The law in Florida is that if the judge decides to hear them, then the judge has to give their desire the weight that it deserves based upon the education, maturity, level of the child. But at the end of the day, what the child wants cannot drive the train. It's what's in the child's best interests.
All right.
And unfortunately, until they're 18, somebody else has to decide that. And when the parents don't agree, the judge has to decide it.
I gotcha.
There you go. All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. 277 or 775-9600. David on the line with us. David, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos.
Hello, gentlemen. Hi, Mike.
Hey, David, what do you got for us today?
I just wanted to call and thank you. I was in your office yesterday setting some things up for my parents. My father has a possibly terminal illness, and I just wanted to say what a great job your attorney, Paul.
Yep, I was going to say, I'm sorry that I didn't get to meet you. I know that you met with Paul.
I was hoping to. Actually, I downloaded your little theme song up. I saw you walking through there. He did a wonderful job, put everyone at ease, you know, answered all our questions.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We work real hard to try to be user-friendly, if you will.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
And it's true. You got a staff down there of other attorneys and people that work down there. We've had the opportunity to meet a lot of your staff.
Right.
They're great people.
Apparently none of them as pretty as Anna or the,
Well,
the entire Beasley Broadcast Building hasn't gathered around for anybody else yet.
Keep in mind also, now Anna is beautiful.
She is.
And what you have in the radio business is a lot of gypsies, tramps,
and thieves. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
You can't call Tuck that.
No, what would you call him?
I don't know what you call a guy who, what was it? He got married and honeymooned at Disney?
Yeah, at like 19, and then it was all over in 2 weeks once she got the wedding at Disney.
But her father liked him a lot. They were very close. The marriage, not so much.
Let's see. Where am I? Joel on line three. Am I right out to go to line three? Joel, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos.
Hey, how you doing? I got a quick question for you. I work for a local company here where I was laid off back in October. And we had to sign pretty much a non-compete order and, you know, where you can't say too much about the company that you work with. But yet, to light is they've actually been saying that me and one of the other guys that were laid off were laid off due to, theft and money laundering and all kind of stuff like that. So what kind of rights do I have where I don't work there anymore?
Well, first of all, you may have signed a non-compete, but you may not have. You may have signed a non-disclosure and a non-solicitation agreement. So it kind of depends on what you signed. I'd have to look at it. But whatever you signed doesn't give them the right to say anything about you. And to the extent that they're saying things about you that are not true, that could be some sort of slander or libel, some sort of defamation of character. Those things are usually easy to prove in that it's a statement that the person knew or should have known wasn't true to your detriment, and they published it to a third party. The problem in those cases is proving damages. So if you can show that you lost a job or didn't get a job because of the untrue thing they said, then you've got a course of action. A lot of times,
it's actually pretty funny. They sent me a letter, you know, kind of a scare tactic letter, because there was certain employees that were working under me and one of the other guys that they laid off. And, you know, a bunch of them left after they found out what they did and how they did it to us. But, you know, now, you know, we're not supposed to say anything. And they tried to, you know, send that scare letter out saying that they were going to take us to court for recruiting. But now we find out that the techs in the field are actually telling the customers that we had, that we were, you know, extorting money from the company, which is probably the furthest thing from the truth that, I mean, you could even come up with.
Right. Well, if you can show that you had some damages, then give me a call, 239-ASK-MIKE, and we'll talk about it further.
All right.
Okay. All right, boss. Thanks, guys.
Yep, bye-bye. All right. 239-ASK-MIKE. 24-7.
24-7, you get me? Just press 6 if it's after hours, and I answer the phone all the time.
He is Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law every Tuesday on the Stan and Haney Show. Mike, thank you so much.
He's thank out there you, gentlemen.
Fighting a good fight.
Yep, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney.
Somewhere in Southwest Florida, an ancient evil stirs. Then Stan and Haney stepped on it. You're welcome. And remember, kids, evil is for pussies. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney, afternoon show. Glad to have you along. Look what D-Train got me. Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday.
You need the old slide whistle sometimes.
And so I got that handy now. I hope I don't abuse it.
Nah, I know everybody's thrilled with that. You're not the type to abuse things. Not like you can amuse yourself for hours with a megaphone.
No. And do you know, we're talking about all the years that we've been here. I got addicted one time on the show with toys. We had bolos in here. Remember those wooden paddles with the elastic and the rubber ball on them? And they're called bolos. And I got into a big problem with playing with
I was really good
bolo
at that when I was a kid.
Yep.
Not so much now.
Grab bag brought to you by our friends at the Pewter Mug.
You know, I guess a little that paddle thing with the ball, I guess that's use it or lose it.
Yep.
It's not like riding a bike.
No. Are we out? Are we good on this? Okay. We now go across the pond to London, Great Britain, where our main man, a man in the know, is going to update us on the royal baby, baby George, on the phone with us right now. Many, many miles from here, where it is, about 9, coming up on 9 o'clock at night, our own pal, Roger Bannister. Roger, welcome back.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I understand you recently visited our fair country.
I was. I tried to look you up, but I couldn't find you. I was directory assistance. I looked for streets to find your shop, and no, you were nowhere to be found.
Well, you know, I'm quite popular.
And, nobody knew who you were. I said, "Where's Roger Bannister? Where can I find Roger Bannister?"
For instance, if I was to meet up with you at the Pope.
Yeah,
you
yes.
know, I would be mobbed, and that's no fun for anybody.
Okay.
But my understanding and how I found out that you were in town, and I regret terribly that we weren't able to meet each other in person, I got a call from a friend of mine at the BBC.
Yes.
And he said, there is a loudmouth yank in here dropping your name left and right.
I was going to everyone that I met over at the BBC, I said, I'd like to meet Roger Bannister. And they all looked at me like, who are you doing? What are you, smoking crack? Well, Roger Bannister. And then apparently you heard on the other end that I was being a loudmouth at the BBC.
Now, I want to be perfectly clear. I never called you a loudmouth. That
okay.
was somebody else's words that were just, that's how you were viewed, I guess, by the good people at the BBC.
Okay. Right. I'm sorry we didn't meet up. It would have been a pleasure.
It's regrettable. And had we touched base, I would have been able to prevent you from a lot of embarrassment, which, of course, you're probably not embarrassed because you don't realize how callous you came across.
I didn't realize that, but apparently I did. I apologize to you, and I apologize to the BBC for the way I acted when I went to your fine facilities. I apologize.
No, it's perfectly fine. I covered for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I said, you know, he is a broadcaster, but he was also a professional football player for many, many years and suffered many concussions. And I found that picture of you at the one football game that you played.
That's right. And then that was understood.
And they thought that you were a member of the New England Patriots, and that they understand.
Okay, fair enough. As long as we're okay, but you know the reason we got you on, Roger, is everybody is talking about the royal baby George, the Duke and Duchess of Cranberry, having the baby. You know, what's the feel over in London right now with this royal birth? Everything we're getting here in the States is it's just total mayhem, total excitement. This is a special time for everybody across the Great Britain.
Well, there is a lot of excitement. It feels to many a renewal. If you'll recall, it was in June of 1982 that Princess Diana gave birth to William himself.
That's
exactly
right.
Exactly the same hospital and the same luxurious wing of that hospital.
And it must be. You know, they won't let cameras in there. It had to be luxurious.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the type of place. I've certainly never had access to it, but I understand they have things like fur sinks, only one use and then replaced.
With a fur sink. All right. But you know what? William and Kate seem pretty down to earth about it, driving their own vehicle, got the baby seat. Yeah, I just think that they don't seem to be the couple that would want single-use fur sinks.
Well, they don't have a choice.
Oh, I see.
As is the case in many facets of their life. They don't have a choice.
Right. I see.
And what has happened is by Wills and Kate being such a functioning, normal couple, everyone, that's made them all the more popular except for one person, the one person that no one is talking about during this joyous time.
And who might that be?
Camilla Parker Bowles.
She truly has to feel like an outsider, especially the way your country felt about, as you say, Diana. They had to be, you know, she has always tried to keep a low spotlight, but when a Grandpa Charles comes, Prince Charles comes, he's got that Camilla Parker horse teeth bulls in tow, and then she starts waving to the crowd. How is she still hated in Great Britain?
Oh, very much so. And Prince Charles has always been quite the equestrian. with Camilla, it certainly has gotten ugly. Thankfully, no one's paying attention because this 66-year-old drunken harpy goes on rants saying she wishes Wills had never seen Kate, complaining about the baby having pushed her into the shadows. And she knows that they will always be more popular
Absolutely.
Than her.
I mean, Princess Kate there, she's a beauty. And it's so many memories of Diana and how we, all of Great Britain, all of the world felt about her. And, yeah, that takes that horse-toothed old hag and gets her out of the limelight.
Well, she is quite the witch. My sources, and I trust them implicitly, said that she has been drinking constantly.
Oh, really?
Openly weeping and muttering nonsensical things like, how can I ever become queen when people are falling all over themselves to worship that bitch little commoner and her baby?
Does she even know that she can't become queen? Even if Charles makes it and is a crowned king, she'll never be queen.
I don't think that she realizes that, because she's been counting on Queen Elizabeth dropping dead for the past at least decade.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the queen, God save the queen, 87 years old.
Yes.
She's got to go at some point.
That's what I'm thinking.
And at that point, what she's thinking is that Charles would become king, and he can do whatever he wants, and he could make her
queen.
No, he can't.
He can't do that. You know, let me ask you this.
But let me tell you this.
Yeah.
She is well aware that Elizabeth is not in her corner. As a matter of fact, she understands that Elizabeth has vowed to do everything in her formidable power to actually change the Constitution and bypass Charles and Camilla altogether, so that the line of succession would go immediately to William and Kate.
Yes, they've been talking about that, and I think that that can absolutely happen. We have just a few minutes left, Roger.
This poor woman, she's drunk and hysterical as there's just a wave of euphoria over this innocent child.
Yeah. How are you? And again,
she likes gin.
Thank you.
You and me, and you know what kind of drunk that is.
Nasty one, I'll tell you that. Nasty. How are you involved in this, though? Naturally, once we wanted to make contact with you, you readily came on board with this. How are you? Are you in any way connected with the royal family and the birth of George?
And I appreciate you asking that, Stan. Yes, I am up to my neck, as a matter of fact. I've come up with, as you know, I fancy collectibles, and
yes,
and I do the collectibles game. And I've teamed up with Dunhill International.
Dunhill International.
Yes.
Yes.
They are just, if you enjoy a luxury cigarette, these are the ones to have. And they actually used to have the royal seal.
That's Dunhill.
On them. And what I have done is to take a photograph of the baby that's been provided and put it on the cigarette. And I have that.
What?
And I also, pardon me?
You have the picture of a baby on a pack of Dunhill cigarettes. And and are you selling this?
Yes, absolutely.
You're selling a pack of cigarettes with the... How did you get the rights to this?
Well, it's the one they release, isn't it?
Yes, but you can't put it on a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, I can't. I think I already did. And it's lovely, uh-huh. Isn't it?
So, okay, so people here in the States can get a pack of cigarettes with the baby on it?
But I imagine there would be a hell of a duty imposed on that.
Yeah.
And in America, you have something called, I believe they call it the Bradford Exchange.
Yeah.
Here we have something called Bannister's Canisters. And what these are designed to replace the canisters that you might have in your home for sugar, flour, you know, and they start out large.
Canisters.
And they get smaller as you go on down to where you're down to the salt.
You're in this for the money. You're not like a Royal Watch reporter and Camilla Park. You're in this. You're selling cigarettes with the baby's face, and you're selling Bannister's canisters.
I also have another website. It is, what do we call it? Rogers Royal Ruse.
Rogers Royal Ruse?
Rube.
Oh, Rogers Royal Rube.uk?
Yes, with a B, as in Britain. Yes, interesting story behind that website, and boy, do I sling the crap on that one. It was originally to be Rogers Royal Rubies, where I would sell faux rubies that look a lot like what royalty has worn before.
Uh-huh. That didn't go over too well, huh?
Well, it's actually done all right. Surprisingly, it's done quite well. I have a picture of the crown there, and then it's zoomed in on a beautiful red ruby, and now you can own a ruby just like that in your own home. An affordable ruby, or a rube.
I got I want to thank Roger Bannister for his update on the royal baby and all of the products he's trying to hawk. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96.
Recently, Dave the Waterman was asked to remove himself from his place of residence. That request came from his parents. With nowhere else to go, he appeared at the home of his longtime friend, Stan Nowalonic. Sometime earlier, Stan's wife had thrown him out, requesting that he never return. Now, can two grown men share a condo without driving each other crazy?
Woo, man, I got my 12-pack right here.
All right, Waterman, it's been a month. Where's the rent?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Where's the money?
Stan, the strippers the other night kind of tapped my wallet.
Dave the Waterman and Stan Nowalonic are the Odd Couple.
Hey, Dave, it's a vacuum, not a bong.
What are you talking about? Look at the size of the hits I'm getting off this thing. Woo! This thing is token strong.
It's nice to be important. But it's more important to remain employed at harshly reduced wages and benefits. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
I want you to look at that picture on our monitor.
Yes, yes.
I have been neutral on the subject of tattoos. I know that you in private
yes.
have a couple.
Yep.
But I am just kind of shocked that it's taken this long where law enforcement now realizing that tattoos may tell you if someone's in a gang, may even tell you their history.
You would think they would know this.
There was a guy in California that was arrested. He was brought in because of driving with a suspended license or something. And they get his mugshot, and in the mugshot, he has tattoos across his chest where it is the entire crime scene of a cold case murder illustrated on his chest. They charged him based on that. And the NFL...
You're right.
I'm telling you, it gets to me. The NFL now says, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should take a look at not only Hernandez's tattoos, because the cops are doing that.
Right.
And he's got one that says blood right on his hand. But they said, the NFL said, you know, we may need to take a look at players' tattoos. Yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah, there. That's the guy. There's a whole map on his chest.
Well, yeah, it's like a cartoon of the murder he did.
Oh, God.
But the NFL now saying, maybe, just maybe, we should take a look at these guys that are all tatted up and figure out what they all mean.
Wouldn't that be an invasion of privacy? Although
there's no expectation of privacy when you
are displaying it.
Yep.
And they are essentially owned by the team until they are released. The team has
They don't like to use that term anymore.
But it is.
I know, but they don't like to use that term. It creates controversy.
Here's my feeling about that tattoos. And you just said I have a couple of privacy tats.
And to me, that's a whole obviously a whole different ballgame.
But when you, this is one man's opinion. We have a lot of people in the building that have the tats. And they got the tats on the back. They got the tats on the chest. They got the sleeves up the arm. I don't care. That's great. Some of it's beautiful. But when you choose to display your gang tattoos, your achievement tattoos, let's say starting above the collar line and going to the face, neck.
Well, that guy we just saw on CNN had skinhead across his freaking neck.
Yeah, right across the neck. And then you want to put stuff on your hands, like Tony Montana from Scarface having the sign on his hand about the affiliation that he had, like in Cuba. And if you want to go and publicly show off your affiliations or what you've done or whatever it might be, then it becomes everybody's business because you're displaying it publicly.
You're doing it to be seen.
Yep, and I think then you give up the right to privacy on anything, whether it be gang-related, teardrop in the eye of how many you've killed.
Oh, that's not what that means, is it?
Oh.
Stan, you know everything.
Yep.
But seriously, I guess it's not the tattoos themselves. It's the NFL going, hey,
yeah,
maybe.
Here's an idea.
And I told you years ago, it was common knowledge. A guy that played for the Dolphins only for like a season. But, you know, nice enough guy. You and I hung out with him.
I know it.
And he made no bones about it. He never saw his paycheck from the Dolphins. It was sent to his gang in California.
Yep.
Because he's only got a couple of years in the NFL. Thug life is forever.
And speaking of thug life, and I told D-Train about this earlier, and I love, part of it's true, but come on. Right now, I guess it was going on today, at the University of Florida, they're chiseling up Aaron Hernandez's, I think, All-American brick. Yeah. That they have there.
And, you know, he's going to continue to cause problems. The Patriots sent out their, I think, their season tickets. And you know how there's a lot of photographs to get you pumped up?
Yeah, he's on one of them.
And there's, it looks like it's taken it at like a practice. Tom Brady's there with the red jersey, throwing a football, the O-line's in front of him. And right there, in the center of the picture, is Aaron Hernandez, and people are calling him up all pissed off.
But here's the thing, and this is not being pissed off, but the UF thing. I got it on my Facebook. I have so many friends that went to UF,
yep,
and then they're all posting. They're tearing up his deal at UF. Most of us say, get that thug's name off, that murderer. All of the UF alum that I know, and, of course, their friends who are UF alum are also posting on there of what a travesty and an outrage this is. How dare the University of Florida tear up his award and monument out there when he's been convicted of nothing? And I'm telling you, it's in sports, it's all about we'll tolerate so much crap if it's our guy on our team.
Yep.
And you can have somebody who's now being investigated for that earlier murder, and the UF doesn't want anything to do with them now. And the UF Gator fans are, oh, he's been convicted of nothing. How dare you? Please.
There's really only one argument that does have some validity. Depends on what that plaque is. If it's his career,
it's his brick.
If it's his, whatever it is, if it's got his, career numbers and what he accomplished, well, then you say, can you separate the man from the football player?
I think D-Train, double check on, I think it's his All-American, yes, when he was named a SEC All-American.
The fact of the matter is, he was named an SEC All-American. Yeah. He also happens to be in solitary right now.
And so they're tearing
it up. Sounds like what you went through with OJ.
Yep. About the awards that he won and all of that, the trophies and all of that stuff. But it's in sports, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and it's only going to get more and more
prevalent. Go say something to a Ravens fan about Ray Lewis. And you'll have your head taken off. You go and look at the logic of what this guy did in his past, and you'd go, and my God, why are we treating him like, you know?
But it does seem like since then, at least he went out of his way to appear like he's cleaned things
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. It's just ridiculous.
Well, it is, but
it's just totally ridiculous.
I don't know why. That just struck me that the NFL thinks that they've had this genius idea of maybe we should find out what those tattoos mean.
What's the lamest way? Some stupid way you hurt yourself. I'll tell you another one. My daughter was no more than 6 or 7 years old. Took her to the beach. She wanted to go and be picked up and dunked under the water and thrown up in the air.
Sure.
Did that. Her head caught me right on the chin. Busted a tooth flush to the gum.
God.
And I thought it was all right. It cracked. And I didn't think. I said, okay, I'm okay. And I got home after the beach.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know, sitting in my recliner. There went the tooth. Lamest way you ever hurt yourself.
Oh, boy.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing, sir?
How are you, buddy? Lamest way you ever hurt yourself.
All right, I got a good one for you. I was out boating all day. I had like a 75 horsepower outboard on the back of my boat. I tie it up behind the back of my house and go to raise my boat motor out of the water, pulling it up by hand. Cover pops off, punch myself right in the face, and broke my own nose.
That's the idea. That's the idea. I got another very, very personal one.
I know why you chose this question now.
In my old house, over the bedroom bed had a low-hanging ceiling fan.
No.
And in the middle of doing what husband and wife do, I caught the blade of the ceiling fan right in my head. It's a true story.
Time out. We got an injury.
Yeah. Right smack dab. The fan doesn't go that fast. It just left a mark. It didn't scalp me. Ahoy, who's this?
This is the Indiana girl, Tanya.
Hey, Tanya, how are you?
What's shaking, bacon?
What the? What's the lamest way you ever hurt yourself?
Okay, in middle school, I was walking back out of the lunchroom, and I slipped in somebody's pile of vomit.
Oh. And did you hurt yourself badly?
Yes, I did. My back, and I've had back problems ever since.
Yep.
And on top of that, it was picture day.
Lovely.
That's the thing. And trust me, it's not being an old man or anything. Once you hurt your back, whether you're in sports, whether you do something
stupid,
you
may as well realize you're done.
You got it for the rest of your life. The first time I hurt my back, I was 30. And I used to pick my daughter to go up on the swings and throw it out.
Mm.
Wake up in bed and suddenly I can't get out of bed because the damn back got thrown out. Sleeping and throwing your back out. What the?
Yep. You don't even have to be doing anything.
No.
You're just sleeping.
Done.
Horrible injury.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, New York James here.
Hey, buddy.
There he is.
Hey, listen, first thing I got to say is that last story you told, that brings a whole new meaning to getting head, huh?
Yeah, that's the truth. And it hurt.
I got a great one for you.
All right.
Me and the cousins were little, right? Girl cousins right on Long Island at the beach. We're playing, and they won't let me play with their beach ball. I got a brand new beach ball, right? I says, yeah, I'll show yous. And I put it between my feet. I grabbed the hot dog fork from the barbecue, and I'm going to stab it so they can't play with it either. Stab myself right in the shin.
No, jeez.
barbecue pork chicken straight out in the air, bowl, just as hot as can be.
Oh, my goodness.
There you have it.
Ouch.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. You want something even worse. This one, and I've told this story on the air. I was the New Orleans Saints used to train on Vero Beach, Dodger Town. The Saints, that's where they had their training camp when Bum Phillips was head coach of the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, great complex.
My father, a buddy of his, buddy of mine, and myself went to go to the training camp because we had passes to go down there. And my old man had a pickup truck. And so he had the front, and then you had the little jumper seat in the back. Get to the New Orleans Saints training facility. I had a pair of shorts on in the days when baggy shorts weren't the style. They were the short shorts.
High and tight?
High and tight. I throw the front seat up to climb out of the back of the pickup truck. The hook latch on the pickup truck caught my right testicle.
Ah!
And pulled.
Stop it.
And so I'm there with the players and George Rogers, the Heisman Trophy winners, all there. We're clicking pictures away. And my old man says to me, he said, "You're bleeding down there. What are you, on your period or something?"
Yep. That's what he'd say.
And I looked down there. I says, "I thought I scraped down there. I ripped. I had to get stitches."
Right there?
Right there.
You've had a lot of problems
down there. Oh, yeah. Been kicked by a horse there, too.
And, you know, kicked with the force of a horse.
Yeah, that too.
Mule kick.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Charlie. Ahoy, gentlemen.
Charlie, lamest way you ever hurt yourself.
I got a brand new job over Labor Day weekend about 10 years ago. I went out and played wiffle ball. You can buy it at a dollar store for 99 cents.
Yeah.
I slid into second base. I broke my leg. I had to work for 4 months.
Oh man.
God. Was it just a simple fracture, or did we go compound on that?
No, I broke it in two places.
Sliding.
$5,000 later.
All for wiffle ball.
Wiffle ball. I don't want to get out.
You remember when I broke my arm?
I do. You were rollerblading.
I had decided that I was going to take up rollerblading.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm on a path at a park where there's plenty of room to do that. Was doing fine. Doing just fine. Until, I don't know if it was a piece of gravel or I wasn't paying attention. I don't know how it happened, but they went out from under me with no warning, and I went to brace myself with my elbow.
Yep.
And I realized at that point my arm was just hanging limp.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I also remember, how am I going to get to the car? I can't get these things off with one hand.
Oh, God. I remember
and
that.
And so, with the broken arm, I skate probably the best that I ever will. Just very fluid, got a good pace going, all rolled right into the car.
And it's still, I remember, that didn't heal right either.
No.
I mean, you had the cast, you had everything on it, and it still didn't heal right.
They didn't put a proper cast on it. They said, oh, it should heal all right on its own. It didn't. Probably should have had a cast.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is Bruce from Naples. How we doing?
Great show, love you guys. Hey, Bruce. Lamest way you ever hurt yourself.
Yes, sir. I was in the shower one time, and I coughed with a little something-something. I said, okay, that's all right. I'll be all right. Then I had to take my mother-in-law on a couple of errands, and I felt it getting worse and worse. So when I got home that day, I laid in the bed, and I ended up laying on the floor for a week, and I had to use a dang chair to walk around on. That's how bad it hurt.
Because you coughed?
Yes, sir.
One more.
That can get you.
Yeah. Yes, if you get that, and if you laugh too hard, if you get into a laugh spasm, you can hurt yourself bad.
Yep.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is John.
John, come in, John. I can hear you. What lamest way you ever hurt yourself?
Lamest way I ever hurt myself is I was putting on my sock one day, and I coughed at an inopportune time, and I twisted a testicle.
Oh!
Oh.
It happens! It happens! It happens! You know what? Because they'll always tell you the best thing for a man is to wear boxer shorts instead of jockey briefs. And I've done it for a while. But seriously, if you're not paying attention and you're in a rush and you're jumping to get in your car or something and you're putting all stuff in there, if you're not situated right, it can go and really wreak havoc on you. And I mean hurt. Appreciate all your phone calls. That was a good one.
On my back for a week. Why was that again? Because you coughed?
Yep. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
WRSK, Bonita Springs, Fort Myers, Naples, and Cape Coral. Rocking Southwest Florida for 30 years. Man, it makes me feel old as f***. 96 K-Rock.
Tired of paying the high cost of new nails and screws? Now you can get that new nail and screw look and feel without the new nail and screw price at Haney's Used Nails and Screws in San Carlos Park. Haney's Used Nails and Screws, voted best place to buy used nails and screws by readers of the news press. They hammer like new, they screw like new, but they sure don't cost like new. Haney's Used Nails and Screws. Open weekdays noon till 2 p.m. in San Carlos Park, where the old A&W Drive-In used to be. Also serving the coldest beer in town. Be sure to visit us at haneysusednailsandscrews.net. Because .com was already taken. Does this sound familiar? You go into the hardware store and...
Ah!
Yep, it's washer and bolt sticker shock. Well, if you're tired of paying top dollar for your washers and bolts, here's good news. Announcing Stan's Pre-Owned Washers and Bolts. Stan's carefully selected pre-owned washers and bolts look and smell just like new washers and bolts, but at a fraction of the price. After all, if you can't tell the difference, why pay the difference? It's a known fact that new washers and bolts depreciate the second you take them out of the package. So don't make a several cent mistake. Insist on Stan's pre-owned washers and bolts right next to Haney's Used Nails and Screws in San Carlos Park. And don't forget, every Tuesday, it's half-price wings. For more information and money-saving coupons, look for Stan's pre-owned washers and bolts on MySpace.
Sweet heaven. The Beasleys actually pay these two for this.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody.
Occasionally, I'm as puzzled as you are, Chris.
You know, this is snowballing. It's going to be big. Rumor has it, D-Train's thinking about opening up a place. Oh, God.
What? Used duct tape?
You know, it's good for more than just one use. Oh, God.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe something along the lines of secondhand hammers and screwdrivers.
Hey, those are tools, and they're good forever.
Well, and that's also high end.
Yeah, that's high end.
That's a lot out of pocket.
Yeah. Because with my plan, as soon as you open the package, it loses half its value.
Oh, don't we get an employee discount? Can we get a couple of bonus spots? I want to hear that again.
Yeah, I'll play them again. We got to do news and traffic, and who knows when those, because it's a double buy, too. If you buy one, you get the other one thrown in. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And it starts right now.
From News Headquarters, this is the Evening News with Dan Rather substituting for Walter Cronkite. And in Washington, Ike Pappas, Marvin Kalb, Bob Schieffer, Roger Mudd, Daniel Shore, Terry Drinkwater at Camp Pendleton, California, David Dick in Niceville, Florida, and Roy Caron in Marshalltown, Iowa.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. You know, when your name is David Dick, do you think twice before you bring a child into the world?
Yes, you do. Yes, yes, you do. Especially if it's a girl.
Well, I know your grandmother's name was Anita, but I think that there are unforeseen consequences to that.
I need it. Hi, sweetheart. What's your name? I need a dick. so stupid.
Yep. Time now for some things you didn't know.
Okay.
I was never a fan of those joke birthday candles.
No. And I was the victim more times than not.
And after the first time, it gets exponentially more annoying. And I remember as a young boy thinking, by golly, there ought to be a law. I thought no one listened to me, but it turns out I was wrong.
There is a law with the candles?
Trick birthday candles that reignite after you blow them out have been illegal in Canada since 1977, the exact year I decided I'd had enough.
Oh, yeah, somebody probably heard you. Wonder why?
Well, that's Canada. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you this right now. Let's do away with trick birthday candles in the U.S. And bring back the codeine.
Yeah, they can get codeine in their cough syrup up there.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hear, but plenty of trick birthday candles. Loads of laughs. Watch your friends laugh at you as you look like a fool. Can you buy big fireworks up in Canada? Without the restrictions?
I don't know. I just know that there are certain things that are different there.
Yep.
I think the main thing is that Tim Hortons, that's the first thing you need to know.
Great coffee. Tragic ending to that guy. Great hockey player. Tragic ending.
What a valuable restaurant franchise.
Tim Horton was a hockey. I think he played for the Maple Leaf. I'm not positive, but I think he played for the Maple Leafs. Big star, decided to open up a chain of restaurants, diversify a little bit. Had a problem with the sauce. Tragic car accident killed him.
Oh, geez. So did that happen before he made it big?
He was already an established hockey star.
No, I mean the restaurant.
I think it was already open.
Yeah, he played for the Leafs, the Rangers, the Penguins, and the Sabres.
And Tim Horton's coffee shops opened when?
Hold on.
Because he died. What year did he die? I think it was in the 70s.
74.
Oh, yeah. So 44. He had no idea how big it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. It would grow big.
Then Wendy's came along and the whole thing blew up.
What?
I don't know.
Wendy's came along. They partnered up with Tim Horton, like in Ohio and Kentucky. Wendy's and Tim Hortons are combined
stores. Wendy's hamburgers?
Yes.
Old-fashioned?
yes. hamburgers?
Where quality is their recipe.
And their little tip was plenty of napkins?
Yep.
I don't know about that. Tim Hortons, there's regular Tim Hortons up in Canada.
Yes, but in the early 2000s, Wendy's and them teamed up to open up United States branches in Ohio, Kentucky, and like New York.
What'd they call them, Wendy Hortons?
Well, one side of the building was Wendy's, and the other side was Tim Hortons. Mac's wife was a manager at one.
Well, that proves it.
Yep, that's it. Deal done right there. That I don't need to look any further.
Why would he make something like that up?
You know what? Other than that, to hear it out of anybody else, that's crazy talk. But when he says it and from his ex-wife, that's fact.
64 is when they first opened the restaurant.
So, yeah, he was around for 10 years.
But nothing like it is now.
No!
You know, there are a lot of old sayings out there, and people call them old cliches. Well, they get to that point because there's a kernel of truth to them.
Mm-hmm.
One of those sayings, the rich get richer.
Yeah. Where'd that come from?
I'll tell you exactly. The mood ring.
Yes. I took your ex-wife's word for it.
Last job she ever had.
Yeah. At what age did she retire?
22, shortly before she cheated on me.
See, D-Train has educated us, especially in Kentucky, you retire in your early 20s.
Right.
Well, when you're looking around and you realize all your friends are on disability and your mom retired early, you figure, why should I work?
Yeah. On the state dime.
Yep.
Retired at 23.
I told you last year when I drove to Kentucky to drive my, Ohio to drive my daughter down here to move with me.
Yeah.
We went to Bob Evans at like 11:45 on a Tuesday before we head back.
Yeah.
They sat us right next to Mac's wife. There she is on a Tuesday morning eating lunch with a friend. Wasn't working.
Got plenty of money to go splurge at a Bob Evans, though. Evans.
You're talking big stuff right there.
Yep.
And you said the way that the kids are raised there, they get to a certain age where they start asking,
how do I get my check?
Yeah. When do I get my check?
And you say, well, we go to school tomorrow, get that work permit. Well, no. How do I get the check in the mail like my aunt and my mom get?
Wow.
Well, that's a ritual, you know, becoming a young man or a young lady. Yes. You start to get your own check.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. You've made it into adulthood.
Congratulations. You're on the dole.
Jesus, I just can't imagine that.
I know.
So the rich get richer.
Yeah, how'd that start?
Not on the dole.
The mood ring, very successful novelty product.
Yeah.
And the Thigh Master, very successful novelty product.
Yeah.
Thanks to Suzanne Summer.
Yeah. Summers.
Oh, like she cares.
Oh, from the same man who said, yeah, Tim Horton, he played for the Maple Leaf.
Hey. That's what it says on the jersey, Maple Leaf. Doesn't say Maple Leafs.
But then you went and said Maple Leafs later.
Well, for you Americans.
So the mood ring and the Thigh Master.
Back to that again.
Invented by the same man.
As the pet rock?
No, but this is because the rich get richer.
His name?
Yes.
Joshua Reynolds. Now, Joshua didn't need to invent the mood ring and the Thigh Master. Because Joshua Reynolds happens to be the heir to the R.J. Reynolds tobacco fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. He was just trying to do his part.
He showed them all.
Yep. There he is right there.
I made my own money.
Yep. with the Thigh Master.
By BSing the public.
Yeah.
Mood ring. I remember my sisters had those.
I'll tell you right now, they didn't work.
Yeah. I know they didn't work, because mine would have been boiling red most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, earlier this year, we were doing stories about used-looking jeans that you could buy for ridiculous amounts of money.
Yep. Did you ever sell yours?
No.
No, that doesn't work, because those are actual used jeans.
Right.
You just want ones that look used, and you pay hundreds of dollars for them.
Right.
I was asking a mere $63 for two pairs.
Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yeah, big name.
Yeah, they realize they're on to something. And from what I understand about the fashion industry, it seems like what they do is they make clothes and accessories that are just ridiculous that no one could ever wear. They put them on models. They're worn one time and then thrown out.
Uh-huh.
And then for the things they actually sell in the store, those are mass-produced in China, but they put the Louis Vuitton name on it.
Correct.
And that makes it a luxury item.
Yep.
So Louis Vuitton has begun selling things like socks and sandals, because most people can't afford to pay for the name on, clothes and bags, so... Let's have a $40 pair of socks.
Sure. Anybody could afford a $40 pair of socks. Oh, yes, not what you'd normally pay, but you've got Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, you can't pay, $1,000 for a Louis Vuitton one cufflink.
Right.
But you could, if you budgeted, you could get a $40 pair of socks.
Yeah, and they're really not even that comfortable.
No, they just got an LV on them.
Yep.
Well, now, evidently the idea is that we need help coming up with ways to spend money. I don't personally think that's an issue, but evidently in this industry they do, because now there is a new product available. Luxury Crocs.
Wasn't Croc, the Croc company, virtually on the out of business, that they're, like, losing money hand over fist?
I don't know.
But now I can get a luxury Croc.
Yeah, do you know what that is?
What?
Well, they look like regular Crocs.
Okay.
And what they do, this fashion designer, Christopher Kane.
Yeah.
He glues small rocks on them.
Oh, he bedazzles them.
And then he sells them for $216 a pair.
Oh, God.
I'm told that's a minimum 10 times what a non-luxury Croc might run you.
They look like something your kid made in kindergarten.
Oh, my goodness! Yeah, it's like an arts and crafts project for slow kids.
You're not joking.
I'm not.
Oh, I must have them.
Oh, 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 oh.
Who does this?
Christopher Kane.
Yep.
I'm telling you, art and fashion is the biggest scam, and we need to get in on it.
Yep. Let's shut down these nuts and bolts businesses and get into the luxury Crocs.
No, we'll use the nuts and bolts businesses to finance our foray into that so that we can afford to buy rocks. God knows you've got
to
get that blender fixed before we can start grinding up big stones.
Crying out loud.
In a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, a 32-year-old gent in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Not a good place to live.
Good place to drive through and raise hell?
Sure.
His name is Aaron Tucker, and he got out of jail a few weeks back after a 22-month stint for weapons charges. While he was locked up, his first child was born, a son. And when he heard that child cry over the jailhouse phone, it inspired him to turn his life around. So he did what everybody tells you to do, will solve all your problems.
What's that?
He got a GED.
All right!
And everything was fine from then on out.
Yep, just pure success.
Yep.
Got their GED and ready to roll.
He applied himself and got his GED and never had a problem again.
Yep. Life was easy.
Yeah, he got smart in a hurry. Word got out. He possessed a GED, and other inmates requested that he begin tutoring them so that they could become successful.
Yep. Big smarty pants right here.
So a week after he got placed in a halfway house, he woke up at 5 a.m. for a job interview, you know, wearing out that shoe leather, knocking on doors. Just applying himself.
Sure, because he's got a GED now.
Yep. So he hopped on the bus and headed for his interview at a local barbecue joint, the Road to Success.
Yep.
But on his way there, he witnessed a horrific car crash.
Oh, my.
A guy hit a tree, flipped his car, and was trapped inside. Aaron told the bus driver to stop immediately and render aid. But the guy said, "Hey, Mr. High and Mighty, you might have a GED, but I'm driving this bus, and I got to stay on my route." So Aaron forced the bus driver to let him off the bus and went to render aid. He found the driver covered in blood. And as he was pulling him out of the car caught on fire. Well, Aaron had to make a big decision then. He hesitated only a moment. He took off the only proper dress shirt he owned to use as a tourniquet.
Brilliant.
And ended up missing his interview, instead staying with the victim until the paramedics arrived. And it looks like his efforts paid off. The driver is in stable condition and should recover. Aaron told the local TV news he was no longer even thinking about the interview of a lifetime at the local barbecue joint. He had forgotten all about his own personal path to success and just wanted to save the man's life. But believe it or not, even though he no longer owns a dress shirt, because of the publicity, he's received a lot of job offers.
I bet he has.
Some millennial also set up a GoFundMe page so people will just give him money for no reason.
Yeah, well, he's got a GED.
They've given him over $55,000.
So he don't need that job at the barbecue joint.
No. But again, it just goes to show, once Aaron got his GED, things turned around for him.
Yeah.
Because he applied himself.
Yeah, and the rich get richer.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
Right there. That's Mark Haney. K-Rock, ahoy, you're on the air.
Oh.
Yeah, hello, K-Rock.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're on the air.
So.
Hello.
So I'm a 96 caller or a 10th caller or whatever.
No, there's no content. You called the radio station,
I
no call.
Hello. I told my boy and I told my lady once I got rid of that busy signal and started ringing through, man, that's it.
That's it what? That's yes. It what are you talking about? Hello?
What do I got to do? Do I have to drive down there, y'all mail it out, or do I just go to the door?
Mail what out? Mail what out, sir? Hello?
My boy's autograph, Dusty Rhodes bobblehead.
That's tonight for the wrestling matches. You can get the bobblehead, sir. I think you're a little confused. You're a little confused.
Just let me speak to Mr. Rhodes, and we'll clear this matter up.
Okay, hold on a second. Will you hold on? Hold on. Hi, this is Dusty Rhodes. Hi, this is Dusty.
Hey, Dusty.
Hey, what's going on? What's your name, fella?
It's Engine Bell.
Hey.
Port Charlotte.
Hey, Engine Bell. Hope you're going to come see me tonight.
Well, I can't.
Why not?
Well, unless you all swing by the house and pick me up.
Oh.
I started drinking too early. If I'd known.
Yeah. That'd be.
Because I started up about 8:30 this morning.
Yeah, that'd be no problem.
I'm perfectly capable of attending the event. I just shouldn't, you know, authorize a motor vehicle.
Right. I'd really love to see you there. And if necessary, I'll come by and pick you up. You think if I come by and get you, you'll have a cold one for me waiting?
Mr. Rhodes, I have a deep and abiding love for you.
Thank
in
you.
A non-platonic way.
Yeah, I understand that.
I ain't queer.
Right. It sounds to you like you
but,
are.
I was telling him that I wanted an autographed bobblehead for my boy.
You got it.
But now that I got you on the phone, I'm going to come clean with you, brother.
Yeah,
I can't lie to Dusty Rhodes, man.
Yeah, I don't want you lying to me.
I would never lie to you. I would lie to, what's his name?
Who?
Joe.
Yeah, you'd lie to him.
Yeah. But I would never lie. The bobbleheads for me.
Okay,
my boy's like, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years old, and he don't even know who you are.
Right? Okay, I understand that.
But I know the Bible.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
And I know when I made a commitment to my lady.
Yeah.
That I was told to put away childish things, for I am a child,
right.
And I have no use for childish business.
Right. You know what?
And then there was something about ringing a bell.
Right.
And the last thing I heard was my heart, still beating?
Hey, Engine Bell? Engine Bell?
Hey, back at you, Dusty.
Dusty.
Can I call you Dusty?
Well, that sounds a little queer. You a queer man? You sound a little queer.
I ain't no queer, buddy. You know that, Dusty.
You sound like somebody that, experiments with gay things. Queer. You sound like a queer. Hey, I'll tell you what. Why don't you...
Who is
this? The Dusty Rhodes. Why don't you...
Dusty Rhodes is not queer.
No, he's not. You are. So you just go and sit on your porch.
So what do I... Where do I put the model head at?
Don't worry about... Don't worry about that. I'm picking you up. You sit on your porch. Keep drinking, because it won't matter. You ain't driving. And before
is this Dusty Rhodes?
It's Dusty. I'm going to come pick you up, all right?
Is this Dusty Rhodes?
Yeah, it's Dusty.
Hey, do you still have the Cadillac with the steer horns on it?
Sure do, and I'm going to be driving it tonight, picking you up.
What time?
Well, I got to be there at 6:30. Why don't you be waiting at 8 o'clock? All right, and you can bring your boyfriend with you.
You can't take the hell out of Texas, right? Or you can't spell Texas without what?
Make sure you wear that pretty top.
Oh, I got all that stuff.
Wear the pretty top.
But I got the only one I got left because the armpits get ripped out of it, and then I have to cut them all off by hand with the sleeves. I got the Undertaker.
I don't want that. I want something pretty.
I got a big belt buckle.
I want something pretty. Wear a skirt with no panties, okay? And I'll be picking you up.
Well,
I live in a condo community.
55 plus.
Yes, it's 55 plus. I was able to get in 10 years ago because they liked my face.
And they have to have a certain percentage.
Right. So this was posted, but it didn't register with me. I get up this morning. Now, my normal wake-up time.
About 4:30?
No. It used to be. Is between 7 and 7:30 when I get up, have the first cup of coffee, cigarettes, and take care of the constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I slept good last night. And
good for you.
And I did not wake up until 8 o'clock.
Good for you.
So I get up, go through my routine, and I start getting stuff ready for the show. It dawned on me, the notice that I saw posted in the building over the weekend, that at 9 o'clock in the morning, they were shutting off the water to the complex, and there'd be no water for 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
It's about 8:20, and what triggered it... I'm out on the lanai, and I see these big plumbing trucks coming in.
Hey, what are they? Oh.
I'm like, oh, crap. I go.
You got a growler on the way.
Yup. I go and immediately just head to the bathroom, throw on the shower to go before they cut the water off on me.
So you threw on the shower and were sitting on the toilet at the same time?
No. I'm telling you, my normal routine is that.
You're not saying you got in the shower and did a waffle stomp, are you?
Oh, no. Wait, you're not going to believe this.
I'm trying, man. Work with me here.
So I'm figuring I have to get in the shower fast before they cut the water off.
When you were out and you lit up the cigarette and started to look around, what time was that?
It was probably about 8:20, 8:25.
Okay. Wow.
So I had to go, and before I jumped in the shower, I went and I turned the water on, grabbed some of my clothes to put on.
And, beauty products.
And, my creams and lotions. And I jump in the shower, and I get all lathered up, and I'm in the middle of the rinse, but not fully rinsed.
Yeah, well, it's lather, rinse, repeat, isn't it?
And the water gets shut off early.
What?
They got to the site on earlier than expected.
So they shut it off with you had stuff in your hair?
Look, I'm telling you, I'm semi-rinsed, and the water gets shut off. Now, I said, wait a second. I'll bet you if I go to my sink and in the kitchen sink might be some water in the lines, I can fill up big cups and rinse off.
There you go.
No. Couldn't get any water. And he's thinking about the toilet, that maybe I could get water out of the toilet. No.
You need that.
Well, I flushed, and it didn't fill back up.
Oh,
water,
no!
It all went down, but it didn't fill back up. So I'm like,
wait a second. Don't you have a spare toilet?
Yeah, but I didn't think about that.
Because you got one flush.
I know. I had one. I said,
now the guys that are in the pipes probably wouldn't appreciate that.
But I said to myself,
hello.
How the F am I going to get rinsed off? I said, I don't have any bottled water in the house. Plus, I gotta have water to brush my teeth and all that.
Water is something that's easily taken for granted.
It's the truth!
And it is one of the worst things when it's removed.
So I'm sitting there, soap drying on me now, and I'm saying, what the F am I gonna do? I have no bottled water in the house.
And you know you got a good 6 hours.
Yeah, I said, wait a second. I know what I can do.
Call your buddy?
I had two bottles of Perrier.
You didn't.
And I rinsed with the Perrier water and got it all off me and saved a single swig left in one of the bottles so I could use it to brush my teeth.
With Perrier.
With Perrier. So I rinsed from the shower in Perrier.
So you basically...
But I'm saying to myself, I'm running around here because this damn place is shutting off my water.
So you basically bathed in a mixer.
Yeah, well, it's pure mountain water. It's just carbonated.
Yeah, I know, but it's expensive as hell. You know, if I knew that you were bathing in Perrier every day, I'd think you were a little bitch.
Time now for Memories with Grandpa.
Hi, Grandpa.
Well, hello there, patty cakes.
Did you, before I was even born, did you ever have friends? Ones that you would socialize with other than a Vietnamese woman that you had sex with? Did you ever have a friend where you'd sit and watch a ball game, you know, maybe go and sit at the bar and have a couple of cold ones and, you know, stuff like that?
Well, over the years, there's been a couple of them.
Couple of them. I wonder why. I wonder why.
I've had many acquaintances, but very few of them would I actually trust.
Yep, because you're a user.
You don't understand. When you get to my age, everybody you know is dead.
That is true. I mean, seriously.
So have I had any friends? Yeah, I have. They're all dead.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Grandpa. I apologize.
Well, I'll tell you this. Good friends are hard to find, but women a dime a dozen.
Well, you've always told me that.
I always had a pretty lady on my arm, and I want to know what's wrong with you.
Pretty lady? You were married to my grandmother.
She was a saint of a woman. No argument there.
And you're going right on the radio, Grandpa, saying how you cheated on her all her life.
Well, what's the harm? She's dead.
You cheated on her while she was alive, sharing your bed.
Oh, all the time, yeah. But I really had a lot of admiration for her.
You did.
Yeah, you know your grandmother.
I love my grandmother. She was a saint of a woman.
I decided to bless her with children. And my God, that's probably the worst assignment I ever had.
You're talking about my grandmother.
I really did think about putting a bag over her head, but then I just rolled her over.
Unbelievable.
But there's no excuse for you. You're still a young man. You're only in your 50s.
Yes.
And you haven't had a woman for 20 years.
I wouldn't introduce him to you even if I did. I wouldn't. You know, do you remember?
You couldn't help yourself because you'd be bragging like a teenager.
That's so untrue. Do you remember when my daughter was born? Grandma was still alive then. Your grandpa wants to see your daughter. And I refused. She doesn't even know she has a grandpa or great-grandpa. She doesn't know because I refuse to bring any family, girlfriend, children, anywhere near you, you creep.
Oh, well, I think you're mistaken. Ask her about her Uncle Stan.
What? What?
She knows.
What?
I'd lay low by the elementary school and then get her.
What?
When she was out to recess or something, I'd go up and I'd grab her.
And she knows you as Uncle Stan.
Yeah, I'd take her out for, you know, candy and milkshakes, whatever she wanted. Her entire life, you were none the wiser.
And I've never known about it, because you probably, as an adult, went and told a little girl to keep it quiet. It's between us, huh, you creep?
Well, if you want to keep the candy and milkshakes coming, you don't say nothing to nobody. And I always admired that about that girl.
That is so sick. That is so sick.
She's a good egg. I'll tell you that. She's a good egg. Now, what are we going to do about you? You haven't had a woman in 20 years. Matter of fact, it brings to mind, if I remember correctly, there was a song back in the 70s that reminds me of what we have to do here.
What song is that? Do we have that song?
Well, it was by Rod Todd.
Leroy, boy, is that you?
There it
is. I thought your post-hanging days were through.
My post-hanging days.
Sunken eyes and full of sighs. Tell no lies.
What the hell's this supposed to mean?
Shut up and learn.
I tell you now, we're gonna pull you through. There's only one thing left that we can do. We gotta get you,
a woman.
I already know about Todd Rundgren.
We gotta get you a woman. You son of a bitch.
hear this, son of a bitch.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.